1.
All right. Well, hello and welcome back to A Good Book Review, Episode 5, a podcast where we sit down and review a wide variety of books that have been written for a Christian audience. My name is Chase Vitort, and this is Alex Daniels.
In today's podcast, we'll be sitting down with Pastor Michael Bowman and hearing his thoughts on J.I. Packer's classic, Knowing God. Knowing God was originally published in 1973 and is available on Amazon for the list price of $10.99 at the time of this recording.
Yeah, Michael currently serves as the assistant pastor for Christ Covenant Church in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he studied at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School prior to serving in his church. Now that we're all acquainted, Pastor Michael Bowman, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. This is exciting.
Super jacked. So we're going to start right off the bat here with question number one, kind of an elevator pitch almost, if you will. So Michael, if you were attempting to convince listeners to read Knowing God in like a singular sentence or two, how would you word that in an effort to like compel them?
Yeah. So, I mean, this book is extremely important, but if you want to move deeper in your faith, in order to do that, you need to know God more. That is what you're made for. That's what life is all about. That's what this book is all about. I mean, obviously, it's in the title, Knowing God, but this actually is the most important pursuit of any person, right? This is literally what we are made for. Yeah. And for that reason, I would highly recommend using Packer as a guide toward that end.
Yeah. Cool. So what led you to reading this book?
So I originally, the first time that I read Knowing God was as part of a discipleship program at a Bible camp where it was recommended. And I don't think that we read the whole book, but we read portions of it, a couple of the chapters. And then after the program was done, I still had the book. And so at some point I decided to finish it and read back through it. And so it was part of an actual discipleship program.
Yeah, the curriculum. All right.
Yeah. Alex and I were actually recently at that camp. That's Arrowhead Bible Camp up in New Auburn, Wisconsin, which is how I personally know Michael. And while we were up there, we were listening to a podcast. I think it was the Nine Marks podcast, Pastors Talk. And they were just kind of mourning over, but also celebrating like the life of J.I. Packer, who'd recently passed at the time. And yeah, they talked a lot about knowing God, which is really cool to hear about. Michael, what would you say was like the main thesis of the book? If you had to like, if listeners were curious as to like, what's the main premise that he's discussing? What's the point that Packer's trying to get across here? And perhaps his most famously known book, Knowing God.
Literally, it is in the title. So that's the brilliance of it. And it sounds, and obviously, it almost sounds, cliche or so simple, right?
Yeah.
Knowing God. But it's more than that. Let me read quick. This is just from the very beginning of the book.
Sure.
This is the very first chapter where basically Packer is going to try to help the reader understand why do this in the first place. What's the point? And he says this, it has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the works, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. That is what the book's about. Right? It's about the nature, character, and works of God and trying to draw those things out of the scripture in a way that is helpful. Where Packer can be a helpful guide in those things and draw out these different ideas and bring them together from the whole of the scripture into one as he focuses on certain aspects of who God is.
Nice. All right. Who do you think the book is written for? Is it like,
So that, I mean, the book is really written for anyone. It's interesting. The main focus is Christians, and when Packer wrote it, he speaks about this in his introduction, that he was expecting that this would primarily be toward maybe those who are a bit more academic, maybe those in seminaries or in colleges, and so that's kind of what he expected. And what ended up happening is it became a massive bestseller. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what happened, but somehow this became one of the most, you know, popular books for literally decades amongst the evangelical community anyway. And so it became something that had an incredibly wide readership. And so his audience maybe initially in his mind was going to be maybe those who were studying in a little bit deeper sense, but really it ended up being more generally read by the average Christian layman.
Yeah, that was something that was also discussed on that podcast we listened to when they were talking about Packer. Was like, they'd mentioned in the 20th century, the most famous theologian or Christian author was C.S. Lewis, but right behind him was Packer. And so obviously, yeah, like with the reputation this book has gained, obviously it has reached well beyond the formally educated theologians. But even in light of that, Michael, would you say, is there a degree of Christian maturity that's required to properly appreciate the book? Or could somebody who like, maybe somebody who's not super even interested in researching topics of theology still enjoy the book? Like what would you say is required there?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a certain certain level of maturity that you may want in an ideal sense, because, you know, there's going to be aspects that you're just not going to understand if you are not familiar with certain theological ideas or terms. But even that, Packer does a good job at explaining these things. Again, this is one of the reasons why it's been able to have such a wide readership, is because he's very good at explaining these things. He explains them in a way that most people can understand. I would say, you know, again, the first time that I read this, I was it would have been, you know, maybe I maybe just graduated high school. I can't remember exactly, but it was around that time. So I was either a senior in high school or just out of high school. And I had no problem understanding it, comprehending it. Now, I will say that there were aspects of it that probably went way over my head. And as I've reread it since, there are many things that probably came out that I just didn't even understand. I didn't see. But I do think that there's at least large portions of this that most Christians are going to be able to understand. If you have never thought about these things, if you have never studied in depth the character and nature of God, his attributes, you may, you know, desire to help, get help while you're reading it, you know, to walk through the book with someone else so that they could help explain certain things. There might be certain contexts of, you know, theological debate that he's writing into that might not be super clear for everybody, especially because it is a little bit of an older book.
It's right.
It's not like it was written just this year. And so there might be certain ideas that sound like, okay, I didn't know anybody was discussing this, that come up. But I do think that generally speaking, that the average Christian can pick this up and benefit from this book.
All right. Well, what kind of commitment is required for the time of like reading this book?
So I don't know, how long is it? It's 279 pages, at least my edition book is. And so, you know, it's a little bit longer. It's a little bit denser. It does take extra time as far as even just meditating on what is said, because it is written by a scholar. Even though he's great at communicating, there's going to be, you know, large theological words that are going to be used. That maybe it'll take a little bit more time just to understand, comprehend. And so, you know, it takes a little bit of time. It's hard for me to say, you know, how much time you'd want to set aside for this, because this is the kind of book that is very often used. And in my reading of it, most of the time has been used as a Bible study help, or like part of a church Sunday school will read through this, or a small group will read through this, and you'll do, you know, one chapter a week. I don't remember how many chapters there are. So it looks like there's 22 chapters. I think doing a chapter a week is very doable.
Oh, for sure.
I know there's at least one chapter. The chapter on the love of God is particularly long. It's extremely long. And so every group that I've ever been a part of divides that particular chapter, because there's just so much material that's hard to get through in a week. But that's, you know, that's for a Sunday school. That's, you know, you are just reading that part to then discuss one day a week. If you are intent on just sitting down and trying to conquer this book, to read through it, I think you could very easily do it in just a number of weeks. And you know, even just the average reader could very easily do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to bounce back really briefly to the topic of audience, of who the book was written for, and just ask, I've heard a lot of people recommend Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis to the non-believer as a compelling read because he appeals more to reason, it seems like, in that book than he does to some expositional thesis to prove God's existence or whatever. And so with this book, obviously, Packer's definitely formatting what he's saying on the authority of the scriptures. And so bearing that in mind, would this ever be a book that you'd recommend to a non-believer? And I would guess maybe you'd answer yes to like those who are especially educated or interested in research. But yeah, could you maybe speak to that? What does it look like related to non-believers?
If there is a non-believer and they say, I want to read this book, or you say, hey, here's this book. It's about the attributes of God and what God is like. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I'd be interested in reading that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, so my answer is, yeah, I would definitely recommend it to a non-believer. The question is, you know, is there going to be that kind of commitment to read
right, right.
such a lengthy book on this kind of topic? Mm-hmm. It might not be where you typically want to start, but it is extremely helpful. You know, one of the things that Packer is so good at is that within modern evangelicalism, and this is actually one of the reasons that it's almost shocking, and it was shocking to Packer that this book got such a wide readership mm-hmm. and it became so popular. Within modern evangelicalism, there is this desire to try to dilute things down to such a small degree that you can, you know, stand in an elevator and share the whole of the faith.
Right.
But you can't do that. Right. You can't. You can tell someone about Jesus very quickly, but to actually really explain who God is, mm-hmm. right, to explain how he has revealed himself yeah. in his word through the person of Christ, to actually know God, it's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of work. And so, you know, if somebody was like, you know, I am skeptical of Christianity, and I've often heard God described in such and such a way that just seems wrong to me or mm-hmm. or flaky or silly or just unnecessary, this could be a very helpful book as far as saying, well, you know, here's somebody who is a theologian, right? They are a well-known scholar. Mm-hmm. They understand the scripture. Look what they're able to say about God.
Right.
Or maybe even particular chapters, right? If somebody says, I think that it, you know, is a divine child abuse that God would have his only son die.
Yeah.
Well, Packer has a whole chapter on God's wrath. He has a whole chapter on God's propitiation, on the sacrifice of Christ, satisfying his wrath. And he deals with some of those issues that people think about. And so in those ways, too, it could be helpful. Maybe you could say it would maybe even be more a helpful resource for Christians, just even how to understand how you present who God is to others. Because in order to do that, you have to first know him.
Yeah. Right.
You first have to
know him. Absolutely. Yeah, I think he would likely answer a lot of questions that had not yet been begged in the mind of a non-believer, which was, yeah, something that I was interested in hearing your thoughts on, but I feel like that was well answered. Our bulleted question number 5 here asks this, were there any points that were especially challenging or novel for you to read in particular? And if so, could you speak to that? Which ones were especially novel?
So that's so hard to answer because, it's been a decade at least, right? Since I first read this book.
Sure.
And I have read it many times since. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to pull out any one thing that is, particularly novel or that stuck out as, you know, I never knew this to be a thing. Now, there is one particular part of the book that is the most well-known, kind of controversial part of the book.
Okay.
This is the part of the book that is often pulled out as the thing that people disagree with the most. And I would say that in my first reading, this was a chapter that I read that I thought, I have never heard anybody say this before, and it makes so much sense to me. But it is generally something that is seen as particularly unhelpful to most people. Okay. And so this is the entirety of his chapter 4.
Yep. Okay. Alex and I talked about this when I was reading it for the first time. Yep. The only true God. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So the main thing is that in this chapter, he deals with the second commandment. That you shall make no graven image of anything of any likeness. And so making no images of God. And he applies that even to the second person of the Trinity. He applies that to Christ and says, we should not be making and using images of Christ. And for most American Christians, that is a pretty wild thing. I should say for most American evangelicals, like that is a very strange idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Packer is coming from a much more kind of historic reform background. That is kind of his theological tradition. And this was controversial enough that in later editions of the book, like the one that I have, he has a whole extra note at the very end of the chapter where he just addresses the fact that of everything in the book, people will be so excited. They love it. They're so helped by it. And he kept getting letters. This was back when people still sent letters. He kept getting letters from people. Today it would be like, you know, his Amazon book reviews. All of a sudden there's all these one-star reviews. Why is this? Well, it was a great book, but he told me that I couldn't, you know, use images of Christ. And so he talks about how that this is something that many people did not like about the book. But he stands with it. He does continue to argue that this is something that the Second Commandment would forbid. He adds to his reasoning because he got all of these letters to try to explain more where he was coming from. Because it is a strange idea to many people. Like I said, this is probably the novel thing that when I first heard it, I was like, I've never heard this before. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anybody argue this before or talk like this before. And I found it very compelling, very convincing. But even, you know, the first time I read the book, the group that I was with, we all got together to discuss it. And I thought, wow, this was really helpful. Everyone else thought this was nuts. The next time that I read it in a group setting with a church in the Chicago area, loved the book. Everybody loved it. It was a small group. Everybody loved it, except for that chapter. And they wished that we could just remove that chapter. And here I was defending it, saying, no, I think that this makes sense for his whole argument. The same thing has been true every time that I've read this with a group. That has always come up.
What was your favorite chapter or section, I guess, and why would that be?
This is, I know that this is unhelpful for a podcast. This is another one of those things where, man, it's so hard to kind of boil down a favorite part of this book.
Mm-hmm.
If you look through, there's, I've read this book so many times, and you can see my copy, like almost every page has tons of underlining.
Yep.
It is stars all over, like it is marks all over, because each time I read through it, I find something else that I find to be so helpful, impactful. His chapter on the love of God is...
It was that longer one that you mentioned earlier, correct?
Yep, so this is the longest, 12? This is the longest chapter in the book. So this is chapter 12.
Okay.
Is incredibly profound. It's especially important in light of knowing who God is, in knowing his attributes, knowing that love is at the center of who God is, but then also defining what that love is, how God defines it, how Scripture defines it, instead of allowing kind of our modern sentimentality to define what that love is. Instead, he actually walks through what exactly the love of God is and what that looks like. And so I do find his work on God's love is particularly beautiful.
And just so listeners are aware, we'd mentioned that was maybe a longer chapter earlier. Just to not scare you off too much, it's from page 117 to 127 in my copy, and so it's not terribly intimidating, I would hope, for listeners. Hopefully that's not something that would scare them away. The next question here for you, Mr. Pastor Michael, this book is obviously widely regarded as an evangelical Christian classic. And it's earned that reputation over, over a half century, I think now. Well over a half century. And so the question we have posed here is, does it deserve that reputation? And I would be interested to hear if you have heard a compelling argument against that. So have you heard anybody try to say knowing God is not as valuable as it's perceived to be in Christian modern contemporary circles?
I've never personally met anybody who's actually read the book. I've never met a believer who's read the book who has said, I did not like it. I've never met somebody who said, this was unhelpful to me. And so just with that anecdotal experience and just with my personal experience in having read the book several different times, I would say that this is this is a well-deserved classic. This is very well-deserved. And again, the fact that Packer did not write this thinking, oh, I'm going to make this the most popular book, right? Like, I'm going to write this with all the right phrases, all the right...
to appeal to as wide an audience as I can.
Everybody's going to love this thing, right? He didn't write it like that. He thought, okay, well, this will be like some of his other books that he expected to do better, that were maybe more popular, that, you know, he expected this to be a book that would not sell very well, that would not gain a wide readership, and yet it has. That's a testament that, I mean, he wasn't trying to do this. And, you know, maybe there were some publishing tricks that, you know, they were able to market this thing really well. But you can't, marketing alone would not, in my mind, be enough to not just gain the readership that it has. Because that, I mean, books can gain readership quick.
Right.
I mean, that's possible to do simply by marketing manipulation. But everyone that I've ever talked to who's read this book, every group that I've ever read this book with, has been incredibly profoundly impacted by it and have come out the other side feeling like, no, I do know God more. Like, I understand who he is more. I understand his character better. I want to worship him more because of it. And that's not something that you can just make up, right? Like, that's not something that you can do by marketing manipulation.
Right.
That's something that I think is well worth the designation of a classic.
So when I first read through it, I found it to be very profound when Packer discusses the difference between like knowing about God and knowing God. And I think I've heard that spoken of in different contexts, but the way that Packer phrased things was really great. I think I remember him talking about like how to truly know a living creature or knowing a living thing, you need to understand its past and its present so as to like be able to predict how it would respond to some circumstance or something. And so that was really meaningful for me. I wonder for you, was that the first time that you'd kind of heard that differentiation between intellectual knowledge versus, geez, I don't even know what to contrast it with, but like this more comprehensive, like personal knowledge?
Personal relational knowledge, right? I don't know if it was the first time I heard it. It's definitely an idea that has stuck with me because of it, right? This idea of what it actually looks like to know it, right? Not just know about him, right? Not just to know facts about who he is, not to be able to just like pull up a spreadsheet and put down, okay, what is God? Okay, well, he's love and he's holy and he's just, but to actually know him personally, relationally, in such a way that those things about him are true, but they're also, I understand them and I'm actually led to worship him because of these things.
Yeah.
To interact with him because of these things, to pray to him because of these things.
What would you say is the most predominant factor in your mind that would cause you to hesitate to recommend this book to a listener?
I would not hesitate.
Awesome.
Now, again, you know, what I would say is like, it can be difficult maybe for some, like, it is in some sense a higher level book. Although, like I said, I mean, I was like a high schooler basically when I read it. I think most people with a decent level of, you know, reading experience can understand this book, even if it's a little bit more difficult. But if you're willing to read it, there's no reason not to. There is nothing that should, you know, that would keep me from recommending it to somebody who is willing to read it.
Sure. That's sweet. Awesome. Well, that is unfortunately all the time that we have for today. But Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We're incredibly appreciative of you sparing some of your busy schedule to sit down with us at Good Book Review.
Love doing it.
If you're interested in learning more about Knowing God, we'd strongly encourage you to consider reading it for yourself. Packer is a superb author and has also authored books like Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God and A Quest for Godliness.
Yeah, Michael, if people are interested in hearing more from you or more about you, where is the best place for us to send listeners to hear more about Michael Bowman?
More about me. Well, our church website is ccc-pca.org. I do some writing there. You can find sermons of mine. I do have a podcast that you can just go on any major place that has podcasts and just search for Thinking Out Loud with Pastor Michael. Beyond that, if anybody wanted to reach out to me, my email is pastormichaeljbowman@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from someone.
Sweet. You could also tune into our upcoming episode 9 of A Good Book Review, We will once again be sitting down with Michael and hearing his thoughts on another J.I. Packer classic.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So as always, if any listeners out there have any questions or concerns or clarifications or contentions or any other number of things they would like to communicate to Alex or myself or the team at a good book review on what we've discussed today on this podcast, feel free to email us at agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com. There's no spaces and no capitalized letters in that. So that was agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll be back again in a couple of weeks with episode 6. So until then, take care.
Whoop.